everybody, and welcome back to the Haunted Collection, your weekly podcast featuring scary, ghostly horror stories from yours truly, Kevin Kane, writer, paranormal investigator, and haunted collector. I hope you've had a good week, and I am just very excited to come back and share another story with you. If you listened to my episode last week, I told you about how I first got into the paranormal by sharing my story about my childhood home and the spooky goings-on that happened there. Today, for this episode, I thought I would share with you another fascinating part of my paranormal world. For as I said, not only am I a writer and a paranormal investigator, but I am a haunted collector. What is a haunted collector, you may ask? Since 2013, I've not only investigated haunted locations with that wonderful, wonderful paranormal group Scare of Alabama with Kim Johnston, Shane Busby, Kat Hobson, and many others, but also around that time, I began collecting haunted items, things such as dolls, mirrors, paintings, toys, antiques, all sorts of things which are now scattered about my own home here. Sort of a home museum, I like to call it. Now, what would get me into such a crazy thing? Well, like you are, I first thought when I heard the word haunted doll, I thought of Chucky. Wanna play? That knife-wielding little maniac that ran around in that movie Child's Play. But on the contrary, even though we know there are haunted items with evil entities attached, like Annabelle, Robert the Doll, and so forth, you may not know it, but there also are items out there with good spirits attached. Spirits of children who once possessed them, or adults who are attracted to the items because they remind them of a part of their past life. Who knows what reason these spirits might hang around these items. Now, I want to clarify, these aren't items that get up and move around and walk and talk like Chucky or any other Hollywood horror movie. These items are just simply things like houses. Much like houses and buildings can be haunted, so can items. I want to tell you the story of what got me into collecting these haunted items, because I'll tell you, 5 years ago, I never would have thought I would have gotten into such a venture. But let me tell you the story about my first ever haunted item, a haunted doll named Patty. And so it begins here. The doll looked like an absolute angel. The sparkling blue eyes dazzled me. The little chubby cheeks turned my heart to mush. That amazing little smile made me long to make her mine. So what was the catch? She's haunted, Joanne advised me right up front on that spring day in May of 2013. An acquaintance of mine, Joanne, decided to pass on a doll from her collection that she'd had for a short time during her life, but now needed to find a good home for. She knew I loved ghosts and explored the paranormal and figured I might be the best, or actually the top person, to give this item to for safekeeping. The item was purchased from a woman who claimed to possess clairvoyance. At the time of purchase, Joanne received the warning about the doll, which she now passed on to me. It once belonged to a little girl named Patty. This child, Patty, was only 7 years old when she died. Sometime during the 1980s, the later part of 1980s, in what is believed to be a small town in Michigan, Patty lived with her mother, who practiced the age-old profession of prostitution. Mother wasn't very interested in having children, because of her profession and the fact that accidents do happen when we fail to practice the proper procedures of caring for ourselves. Mother became pregnant and gave birth to a beautiful blonde child named Patty. A harsh life awaited the poor youngster. Her mother wanted nothing to do with her. The child was completely fatherless and had no one else to care for her. Her mother never bought her toys or anything nice like candy or cakes or even good clothes. When she was old enough to get around, Patty was left alone many nights to fend for herself while Mother went out to entertain clients, sometimes until a very late hour, and sometimes until the hours of dawn. A neighbor woman felt sorry for Patty and gave her this particular porcelain doll. It was a baby doll in a crawl position with sparkling blue eyes and blonde hair just like Patty. The same color of hair that Patty had and in curls. It wore a white bonnet with pink roses on each side and a pink silk baby dress with pink silk pants to match. Its head, arms, and legs were porcelain, but the rest of the body was made of cloth. This was Patty's only toy that she had ever received, and quickly became her prized possession. On those lonely nights, she clung to her doll and sought comfort from it. It stayed by her bed, and she never let it out of her sight at home. One fateful night, Patty's mother went on one of her all-night excursions, leaving Patty in their apartment. Patty fed herself and prepared herself for bed. But as the hour grew late, the urge for something sweet before bedtime overwhelmed her. Normally, her mother never bought her any candy or desserts, but Patty wondered if she kept anything stashed away, perhaps out of sight. Rummaging around in the kitchen, Patty came across what appeared to be small pieces of colorful candy. Her eyes bright with excitement, she opened the plastic bag containing the candy and tried a handful. Being only 7 years old and having very little education, she had no way of knowing what she had really swallowed. Aside from being a prostitute, Patty's mother was also a big drug user. Oftentimes, she took payment of drugs instead of cash from her clients. The plastic bag Patty came across that night contained some pills, not candy. These were pills her mother had just recently acquired from a client for services rendered. The handful Patty swallowed proved too much for her tiny little body. She went to bed ill and never woke up. The next morning, when the neighbor woman, the same one who felt sorry for Patty, went to check on her, found poor little Patty laying in the bed, dead from the drug overdose. After Patty's death, the doll was given away and passed through random owners before it wound up in my friend Joanne's possession. The clairvoyant who Joanne purchased it from advised her of the experiences prior owners of the doll reported when the doll resided in their homes. Each owner reported seeing the apparition of a small blonde girl in a white dress near the doll. Sometimes late at night, small footsteps could be heard from otherwise empty rooms after everyone in the household had retired to bed. The disembodied voice of a small girl was often heard talking and sometimes even singing near the doll. Oftentimes, the owners felt sharp tugs on their pants or shirt tails as if a child were standing next to them, attempting to get their attention. When Joanne purchased the doll, she didn't believe it to be haunted. She thought ghosts were a thing of fiction. But she loved collecting dolls and other antiques and could not pass up on this adorable addition to her collection. She took it home and the doll sat quietly in her collection. For the most part, she never heard much from the doll, nor did she ever catch sight of a little girl spirit. However, something about the doll captured her interest, as if she felt something really was with it, as if something or someone were behind those sparkling blue eyes staring back at her. Sometimes she heard footsteps or what sounded like a small voice talking softly coming from the room where the doll sat on a shelf. However, upon entering the room, she never heard or saw anything, and so she chalked it up to her imagination. One day, maybe a month or so after Joanne purchased the doll, her granddaughter, 4 years old, came to visit and was playing in the room where Joanne kept the dolls and antiques, including Patty's doll. About 5 or 10 minutes went by, and Joanne says her granddaughter came out of the room and approached her with a look of confusion on her face. "Grandma," she said, "there's a little girl playing with a doll in there." This confused Joanne because there were no other children in the house aside from her granddaughter. She took her granddaughter by the hand and walked her back into the doll room. No one was there, just the dolls and the toys. "But Grandma," she said and pointed toward Patty's doll, "there was a girl right there playing." Sometime later, due to personal reasons, Joanne decided she needed to downscale her collection of dolls and antiques. Patty's doll was an important item she felt needed to go in the right hands because of my lifelong interest in ghosts and the paranormal, I seemed the right candidate for the job. As I mentioned before in the introduction of this podcast, I said not all items are automatically evil. When Joanne told me of having a doll that was believed to be haunted, as I said, I first thought of some scary doll running around my house trying to strangle me in my sleep. But Joanne quickly assured me that this was not the case. Patty's doll was very precious and probably may not even be haunted, but if it was, it never caused her any harm, and she actually quite enjoyed having it in her home. Once Joanne showed me a picture of Patty doll, the little doll lying in that most adorable crawl position on the dining table in the picture, Patty's sparkling blue eyes won me over instantly. I just could not help myself. I also thought to myself, if nothing else, this is an amazing conversation piece. So I agreed to adopt Patty. I now welcomed my very first spirit into my home. Although I must admit at first I was very nervous at what I might hear or see in my home if this thing was haunted. At the time I adopted Patty, I still rented a small townhome in Inverness, Alabama. Because Joanne lived out of town, Patty was shipped tightly in a box to my home. When I picked up the box from the post office and took it to my car, I swear I heard movement coming from within the box. When I got it home, I opened the box and took out Patty's doll. The minute I looked into her eyes in person, I felt like someone was there looking back at me. Small shivers like tingles ran through my body. I sat the doll on the bed, and at the risk of feeling like the most foolish person in the world, I began talking to her. "Welcome, Patty, to your new home," I told her. "It's a pleasure to have you here." Patty's first night in my home was a quiet night. I knew if the doll was really haunted, the activity might not start right off the bat. I figured on it taking a few days for the little spirit to get used to me and her new home and feel comfortable enough to reveal herself to me. However, when I went to bed that night, I lay there in the dark gazing at that doll sitting on my dresser facing me. I could not help but wonder if I might wake up in the middle of the night to find a little girl standing next to my bed watching me. Would I feel someone crawling into the covers? Would I feel an icy hand come to rest on my arm? All kinds of thoughts went through my mind and made me slightly nervous. Still, I managed to drift off to sleep and had no problems. On the second night after her arrival, I sat the doll on the bed and stepped back to take a picture with my digital camera. After downloading and inspecting the photo, I noticed a large white glowing ball hovering over the doll in the photo. I did not see this with my naked eyes when I took the picture. It only showed up in the photo itself. Most paranormal investigators call this glowing ball an orb and say it possibly means that a spirit is attempting to manifest itself. Many skeptics, myself included, chalk it up to just dust or small bugs flitting about causing a reflection in the camera's flash. However, this was the only orb to show up in the photo, and coincidentally enough, was hovering directly over the head of Patty's doll. A few weeks after the arrival of the doll in my home, I decided to try out an EVP, which is an electronic voice phenomenon, an EVP session where I use a digital recorder to record myself asking questions. The theory is that digital recording devices can pick up on sounds, even voices, that cannot be heard by the human ear. I stayed up late in the night and conducted a short session with the doll. The next day, when I played back the recording, I found I'd captured nothing. A little disappointed, I decided to keep trying regardless. Thankfully, I did this because very soon, my persistence would pay off. About the third or fourth EVP attempting, I was sitting up with Patty's doll about 1 o'clock in the morning in the living room of my townhome, with the doll sitting on a table next to my recliner where I sat. I spent about 10 minutes talking to her, asking her questions, even singing to her. Anything to try to get a response from this doll. Extremely tired by the end, I bid Patty good night, turned off the recorder, and went on to bed. The next morning, I played back this little 10-minute session. No responses were captured, and the recording reached the end. I was giving up hope when I noticed something strange at the very end of the recording. I heard an additional voice speak. My heart leapt. I played it back over and over. At first, I was frightened, but the fright quickly turned to excitement. At the end of the recording, my voice is heard saying, "Gotta go to bed now, go to Sleepy Pie." I know that's very silly, but considering how late the hour was at the time of the recording, my mind wasn't completely awake. Also, I was speaking as if I were talking to a small child anyway, so I could try to get a reaction from her. Just as I reached to turn off the recording and let out a deep sigh, right behind me can be heard the softest, sweetest child's voice just in the last few seconds of the recording, saying the word, "Righteous." The voice was that of a little girl, and it sounded so peaceful and angelic. The excitement became overwhelming, and I actually raced over to Patty's doll, lifted it up in my arms, and swung her around and cried, "Thank you, Patty. Thank you so much for speaking to me." I even gave kisses to the doll's cheeks, as crazy as that sounds. Yet, this might sound strange, but again, I was very excited to capture such clear evidence from my first haunted item in my home. I played the recording for my immediate family to hear. Needless to say, they were startled by it and got the creeps. I, however, maintained my excitement about my capture and even shared it with friends and on the internet. A few days later, I stood in the kitchen getting ready to leave for the day. I was at the kitchen sink, washing some dishes. I lived in the townhome alone, so no one else was there with me. To my surprise, I felt two sharp little tugs on my shirt tail on the right side. Turning and looking down, I saw nothing there. Yet it felt as if a child had tugged on me to get my attention. Was it Patty? Thinking it might be, I spoke out to her and said hello. There was no response, but that would not be the last such experience. Every week I experienced the tug whenever I was standing in my home alone. It happened in the daytime and nighttime as well. One Saturday I sat home enjoying my day off from work, snuggled up in my recliner, watching television. I was having lunch and watching an episode of I Love Lucy, as it was the best thing on at that time of the day. On the television, Lucy and Ethel were in the middle of one of their madcap predicaments. As the action grew sillier, right next to my recliner, I heard the softest, sweetest giggle that sounded just like a little girl. I immediately stopped and looked around. Of course, no one was there but me, at least no one that I could see. Thinking of how sweet the giggle sounded, I smiled in the direction where the noise came from and waved, hoping she saw me. In the early summer of 2013, I published my first book, Thanksgiving Hen on the Chicken Shed, Stories My Grandmother Told Me, which was a short story collection about the stories my grandmother used to tell me about growing up in Alabama during the Depression. She passed away a few years before the book came out, and I did it as a tribute to her. When my copy of the book arrived from the publisher, I was overwhelmed to beholding my own first published book in my own hands. I raced to my office area in my bedroom and grabbed the digital camera. Setting it up on my dresser and starting the timer, I got in front of it and posed with my book to capture a picture. Right away, I posted it on my Facebook page for all my friends to see and celebrate with me. At the time, only a handful of people knew about my haunted doll, Patty. One of my close friends saw the photo on Facebook and noticed something strange. He messaged me about it and asked me what it was. My curiosity on the verge of explosion, I quickly pulled up the photo on my computer and enlarged it to have a look at the anomaly that he was referring to. In the photo, over my right shoulder, appeared a line of light. It had the shape of an arch coming up over my shoulder. One might think it just a flaw or a reflection, but the hump seemed to be coming up from behind me, the bottom half of it blocked out by my shoulder. In fact, the shape appeared more like the outline of a small head peeking up over my shoulder. It even had the imagery of hair around it and a small ribbon on top. "I think that's Patty wondering what you're up to there," my friend messaged me jokingly. I believe he was 100% right. After the picture I captured, I decided to start a page for Patty and her doll on my Facebook where I could post and share my evidence. It also might help me locate some of Patty's former owners and hear their stories. Internet searches turned up no reports on Patty or her death. But her last name by then had been lost anyhow, and pinpointing exactly what city she lived and died in, whether it was really in Michigan or not, proved impossible without more information about her. So I started my page, Patty the Haunted Doll, on Facebook. I was surprised at how many likes the page got in a short amount of time, and just how many others were out there collecting haunted dolls and items. Thankfully, because of that Facebook page, I've been in touch with other investigators who also collect haunted items. And I've learned a lot from these wonderful and amazing people. It is a rare interest indeed, and not for everyone, but I've really enjoyed my experiences with these items. A few I have in my collection have had negative entities, which I've had to bless and seal, but most of them are very pleasant spirits. So let that be a lesson. Not all spirits in this world are evil, but at the same time, don't forget there are some negative, really evil boogers out there. So it's best not to dabble in things you don't understand, at least not before educating yourself greatly on it. If you'd like to visit the Patty Doll Facebook page, just look up Patty the Haunted Doll on Facebook and give it a like. As for the EVP capture of Patty saying righteous, and by the way, the reason I think that word was said is because Patty did grow up in the late 1980s, and a lot of kids used that phrase, righteous man. It was a phrase she knew, and that's what she said. I think she was happy that we were going to bed that night. If you'd like to see that EVP session, though, or at least hear the EVP captured, please check out my YouTube page, My Haunted Dolls. And you can see all of my captures out there, Patty, as well as a bunch of other items out there. If you have trouble finding it, just go to my website, writerkevincane.com, and in the link section, you can find a link to my YouTube page to check out those videos. Also, you can find it on my Facebook page. I also have a book called My Haunted Collection, which I published back in 2014, not long after, maybe a year after starting my collection. It is available on my website if you want it autographed, or you can buy it at Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, or any other fine online book retailer, so be sure to check that out. Next week, I'm going to be in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, so I will not be here, but please do tune in a couple of weeks, and I hope to have the next story put out here for you to enjoy. I hope you've enjoyed my podcast here. I hope you tune in again, and I thank you so much for your dedication and for your support. It means a lot. So have a good evening, and again, happy hauntings!